Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. Very good to have visitors with us. So glad that you've made it our way, and know that you are honored guests, and you are welcome back at any and every opportunity to come and be with us, and we're so thankful that you're here. You know, we think of Memorial Day coming up, remembering those that paid the ultimate price for our freedom, and that's certainly something not to take lightly. And when you really think of the day and the purpose of the day, I think really is certainly the idea of don't forget, which is the title of the lesson today, is don't forget. You know, you think about that, as human beings, perhaps that is one of our many weaknesses. I think that is one that as humans, as we look across men and women, as we look at us as a whole, as we look at ourselves, perhaps forgetfulness is perhaps one of our biggest weaknesses. One that I think that God knew very much about. And I think that God really took steps, and I think that when we take a step back, we can see his guidance and things that he asked us to do so that we don't forget. But certainly thinking about that idea, thinking about those that have given their lives, certainly thankful for those that served as well. But there is a danger of forgetting. And we don't have to go too far in the Bible or in our lives until we find an instance where we forgot something that we should have remembered, or we look back in the Old Testament and we see individuals of God, the people of God, forgetting things that they ought not forget. You know, we all forget small things from time to time, but isn't it a sad commentary when we look at our lives and we realize that we forgot the big thing? We've forgotten an important thing. We've forgotten a priority, something that should be a center of our lives. You know, there is a danger of forgetting, and certainly the message this morning is don't forget. And there are some things that the Bible encourages us not to forget, and if we do, we will see that those are connected to many consequences and things in relation to that. But I would like to think about the Old Testament for just a few moments. As we're trying to learn, we think of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it talks about whatever things are written before are written for our learning. I think of Moses. You know, Moses, the leader of the children of Israel, you remember that Moses with Aaron go to Egypt, and the Israelites are there, and he leads them with the assistance and help of God with the plague. He leads them out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. They go to Mount Sinai. They have all these things. And as Moses gets to the end of his life, the people of Israel are about to go into the Promised Land. And in Deuteronomy, he's giving a speech. And really, in Deuteronomy, you are going to see a common thread throughout Deuteronomy as he's talking to the people. As Moses knows he's not going to enter the Promised Land, he knows that these are going to be some of the last words that they are going to hear from him. And what are many of those words focused around? They're focused around not forgetting God. Well, as our reading went, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 23, take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. Don't forget the covenant of God. We could go to multiple other places in Deuteronomy, and really, I think it's a common trend throughout. He's saying that there is a danger even for the people of God. We're talking about the Old Testament. There's a danger even for the people of God to forget those things that are most important. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 14, it reads there, it says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and that you have, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Moses had a message for the children of Israel, God's people. These are God's people. They have got to see many things in the wilderness and going in, and they are going to take the land, and they are going to have all of these physical and monetary possessions. And he says that's really when you are in most danger, perhaps of forgetting God. And it's a warning on the front end, and he says, do not forget God. You know, isn't it a sad thing when we think we forget the things that are most important in our lives? Throughout the Old Testament, we see the people of God forget God time and time again. The people of God forget God time and time again. You know, Jeremiah, one of the prophets of the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, he says, can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. That's a powerful picture. It gives us this picture of a bride. Would the bride forget her wedding day? Would she forget her dress? Would she forget some of the significant things of that day? But he says, my people have forgotten me days without number. There are certain things that we must not forget. Certainly when we think of Memorial Day, there are certain things in relation to our country, in relation to the payments and the sacrifices that have been made for the country in which we live. We cannot forget those. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, when it comes to the spiritual life which we live, our physical life which we live, there are some things that God does not want us to forget. Have we forgotten the things that God does not want us to forget? Number one this morning, as we look and we consider these things, number one, we as Christians, as servants of God, we cannot forget God's actions. Do we forget God's actions? Do we forget what God has done for us? And certainly we cannot consider the whole list today. As we consider God's grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, we think of His sacrifice, we think of the physical blessings of life, we think of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. We cannot forget God's actions that He has taken on behalf of us. Do we forget the actions of God? Do we forget what He has done for us? James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, you think about that. God has really blessed us bountifully in a physical way, and He has blessed us in a spiritual way. Do we forget what God has done? Do we forget the steps to the cross? Do we forget the whips upon His back? Do we forget the crown of thorns? Do we forget the actions that were taken on our behalf? Do we forget about the debt which was paid on our behalf? Do we forget the actions of God? Do we forget His love, His grace, His mercy? Do we forget the goodness and severity of God? We cannot forget the actions of God. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, Paul speaking there, he says, God has really given us life, breath, and all things. What is left out? What has not God not done? And yet, so many times, the things that are right in front of us are the first things that we forget. The things that are right in front of us that we get to partake of day after day, when we think about His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, those things that we have an intimate relationship with. We think of our spouses, we think of our children. Do we take those things that are closest? Do we forget those things that are right in front of our faces? Do we forget the actions of God? Do we forget the blessings of God? Do we take for granted those things that God has given us? In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, the ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider. You know, that's a powerful picture. It really paints the picture of the people of God of the Old Testament. They go through ups and downs, but in a particular situation, they're not thinking about God. They're not thinking about what God's done. You know, that idea of don't bite the hand that feeds you, we perhaps do worse than that. We forget the hand that feeds us. It's like that hand isn't even there. The hand that supplies all blessings, all spiritual blessings that are in Christ, the hand that provides all physical blessings, it's like the hand is forgotten. It's almost like it's not there. It's almost like it's not existent. Have we forgotten our Master? Have we forgotten our Lord? Have we forgotten the actions that He has taken on our behalf? You know, there are many times throughout the Old Testament where we see the people of God forgetting. Forgetting what God has done. Forgetting that God got them out of Egypt. Forgetting the blessings and the providence of God. Forgetting the keeping and sustaining them throughout the wilderness. Helping them in their military exploits of the promised land. Giving it into their hands. Do we forget? In Judges chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, addressing different periods of time where the children of Israel, the people of God of the Old Testament, were forgetting God. In Judges chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, it says, "Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side." How quickly do we forget what God did for us? How quickly do we forget what God has done for us? It really astounds me, but the Old Testament is written for our learning. There are certain occasions where you really look at it and say, could you forget God that quickly? I think of one of the Psalms, Psalm 106 and verse 7. It's talking about the children of Israel kind of when they were coming out of Egypt. It says, our fathers, Psalm 106 and verse 7, it says, our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Remember the children of Israel get out of Egypt. We have the plagues that happened, and we have the last, the plague, the death of the firstborn, and Pharaoh being distraught lets the children of Israel go, and they leave. And they are on the run, and they get to the edge of the Red Sea, and they realize that Pharaoh is behind them. And if you remember some of the things that happened, a lot of them start saying, we should just go back to Egypt. We're about to die out here. And Israel says this on multiple occasions. The children of Israel, when they're in the wilderness on multiple different occasions, there's many of them that rebel against Moses, rebel against Aaron, and say, you know what? We should go back. Wait. You were slaves, you've been freed, and now you've forgotten about the freedom that you have just been granted. Are Christians like that? We've been free. When we become Christians, when we're baptized to the remission of our sins, our sins are washed away, we're really freed from the bondage of sin. And really, we should, as Christians, although we're not perfect at times, we should be free from the fear of death. Because we know that we can face eternity knowing that when we are going to be judged, we understand that our slates are clean, not because of our great deeds, but because of the blood of Christ that has cleansed us, that has washed away our sins. The power of Jesus Christ. Do we as Christians forget about our freedom? The Israelites forgot about their freedom. They're at the edge of the Red Sea, and they can't remember the plagues that happened. They can't remember of the circumstances which led them to this occasion. Did they forget God's actions that quickly? Do we as Christians forget God's actions that quickly? When you became a Christian, what has happened since that point? Have you grown? Have you reflected on your relationship with God? Are you trying to do those things that are good and right, trying to serve God to the best of your ability? Or have you forgotten what God has done? Forgotten all the power that God blessed us with, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, and those things. Have we forgotten the actions of God? Perhaps sometimes we're more like the Israelites than we would care to admit. One main problem of the Israelites throughout the Old Testament, the people of God, is that they would forget God. They would forget the miraculous. They would forget the wonders. They would forget the kindness. They would forget the goodness. They would forget, I think sometimes they forgot the severity of God. And you know what? Many times today, even Christians will forget the actions of God. That is something that we must not forget. In Romans chapter 1, I think we have a picture of that. We don't have time to read all of Romans chapter 1, but certainly a good read, just as all the Bible is. Don't have time for all the Bible there. But talking about some individuals that it really appears they've forgotten God. It starts in verse 20. It says, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, there's not an excuse for individuals not to believe in God when we look out at nature and what's around us. Then verse 21, it says, the head, so that they are without excuse, Because, although they knew God, they did not glorify him, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made by corruptible man, the birds and four-legged animals and creeping things. There's a lot going on in Romans chapter 1 that really a corruption of righteousness, a corruption of God. But a few things that I want to pull out there is these people, it seems like they're acknowledging. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. You know when we're not thankful? It's when we forget the actions of God. When you forget about Jesus' sacrifice, you're not as thankful. When you forget about his mercy, when you forget about his love, when you forget about all the things that God has done on our behalf, we become unthankful. And many times, when we're unthankful and we don't acknowledge God's actions, it actually will lead us down a path into a lot of false religion, a lot of man-made religion, because we're not really focused on God's actions. We're not focused on his goodness. We're not focused on his severity. We're not focused on the patterns of God. You know, it's not good to forget God's actions. In Psalm 9, and verse 17, it says, "The wicked shall return to Sheol all the nations that forget God." You know, these stories of the Old Testament, these things that real people went through, the people of God, they are written and should encourage us not to forget God. We can see how they made mistakes. They forgot God's kindness. They forgot his goodness. They forgot his mercy. They forgot his severity. They forgot his discipline. We cannot forget the actions of God. In Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." And if you read Psalm 103, you're going to see a big long list of things there. But do we forget the benefits of God? Do we forget his actions towards us? Do we forget the one who forgiveth all thine iniquities? We cannot forget the actions of God. Something else that we can't forget is we can't forget God's Word. Not only can we not forget His actions, but we can't forget God's Word. And if we forget His actions, that is going to be a path to disaster. But also, if we forget His Word, that is also a path to disaster. Have you forgotten the words of God? You know, we have His book, the Bible, inspired, and we can certainly make arguments that it's inspired. And we have this book that's taller and more accessible in the United States, and perhaps when you consider it from a historical perspective, God's Word is more accessible than it's been in a very long time. I mean, many of us have multiple Bibles. It used to be you had to travel to somebody who had a copy, but now almost all of us have Bibles, and really, you don't have to go too far because I know your phone's got a Bible. I know your phone's got a Bible. Not only has it got a Bible, it's got every version of the Bible. But the Word of God is more accessible than it has ever been. But yet, it seems like in our society, in our world, it is almost the most forgotten Word sometimes. And we see this as a problem of the children of Israel, is as we look at the Old Testament, is not only would they forget God's actions, but many times they would forget God's Word. Once again, this just seems to be a flaw, an issue that we have to sort out as individuals, as humans. You know what? Even as I study the Bible, if there's a section of the Bible that I have not studied in a while, you know what happens to it? It fades in my mind. It fades in my mind. It's human, the forgetfulness. That's why we need to study, and we need to show ourselves approved and do the best we can in relation to rightly dividing His truth. But you think about that. We forget anything that's not repeated. How often are you repeating the words of God in your mind? How many times are you reading the words of God? Because we need that desperately. You know, it's one of the foundations of teaching, really. The things that you know most are the things that have been repeated most. If I ask you to recite the ABCs, you're probably not going to struggle with that because it's been repeated so much since you were young. But have the words of God been repeated to you since you were young? You know, I've worked with individuals with various disabilities over the course of time, but the power of repetition is amazing. I worked with one individual over the course of time. I worked for Ren, and this one individual, he had Toy Story completely memorized. Well, how did he have Toy Story completely memorized? I mean, down to the line. I could start him in the middle of the movie, and he could pick up from someplace. He knew Toy Story very well. He loved Toy Story. Why did he know Toy Story so well? Because of the repetition. What are you repeating in your mind? What are you repeating in your life? Because the devil is competing for your time. I know he is. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, just life in general. Things that, there's good things that we got to do. We have to work to make a living. But the devil is good at sucking up our time, and he's trying to get you away from the words of God. How many repetitions are you getting of God's Word? Are you reading His Word? Are we noble like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11? It says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. The Bereans were trying to study the Word, and they were studying it daily. They did not want to forget God's Word. You know, when it comes to learning things, one of the easiest ways for us to, well, when it comes to teaching or anything, one of the best ways we can retain information is if we do it. And James talks a lot about that. He said, don't be forgetful hearers. What does he tell us? He says, be doers of the word. Don't be forgetful hearers, but be doers. One of the best ways to remember God's word is to read it, but then apply it. And that is really throughout James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Don't be forgetful hearers, but be doers of the word. One of the best ways for us to remember things is to put it into application. I can read about an engine, or I can take it apart. Which one's going to be better? I'm not saying that you don't need the reading part, but when you put it into application and you start doing that, you are going to remember that, I think, far better than you're going to remember the text and reading it. It's not that we don't want to remember the words of God. We need to remember them, but the best way to remember them is to read and then try to apply. And James warns about that. If we are the Christian that just takes God's word and then we don't try to apply it in our lives, it's going to be forgotten so quickly. We have to apply what we can, when we can, to the best of our ability. And people try to overlook this in our society today, is that really, Christianity should be changing you. Now there's a lot of versions and a lot of faiths out there, a lot of fake religion out there where they say, oh yeah, you become a Christian, but it's not going to change you at all. The Word of God is supposed to change us. It's supposed to change our actions. And certainly, our actions will be considered at some point. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, where we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. God looks at our actions. Are we forgetful hearers or are we doers of the Word? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The best way for us to remember God's word is to put it into application in our lives. And many times, the word is not put into application. And when it's not put into application, I think many times, if we look honestly, we could say we're a forgetful hearer. The word of God is so very, very important. We think of Jesus himself. Jesus himself in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, he says, he who rejects me and receives not my word has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge in the last day, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. The words of Jesus Christ will judge us. Have you forgotten those words? You know, the devil wants you to forget the Bible. You know that? He wants you to think that you don't have enough time to read. He wants you to think that you don't have enough time to attend Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Wednesday service. You don't have time to read the Bible. You don't have time to study the Bible. He doesn't want you to think that. He wants to draw you away with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. But is there any more value for our time than learning God's Word and trying to put it into application? I think of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. It says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Is there anything else that we could really put more value on than God's Word? To try to consume it, to know it, to use it. Not be forgetful hearers, but doers of the Word. You know, the children of Israel we've talked about, they forgot God's action. You know, we have that psalm that talks about them at the Red Sea, and really we have all kinds of history of the children of Israel forgetting the actions of God. But you know what? We have excellent examples from the Old Testament of the children of Israel, God's people, forgetting the words of God. One of those is in Hosea. Hosea chapter 4, of course, really, you can go throughout the whole book. Hosea, a minor prophet, certainly you can hit all his backstory, but I really just want to focus on what's going on with the people. What's going on with the people? You know, we have the children of Israel who forgot God's actions. They forgot the plagues. They forgot all the things that happened. They forgot God's actions. But you know what? Here in Hosea chapter 4, we have people who have forgotten God's word. It says, hear the word of the Lord, verse 1 in chapter 4, ye children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Let's see what happens when there's no knowledge of God in the land. Verse 2. It says, by swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. With bloodshed upon bloodshed, therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day, the prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So it starts out with the charge. The charge is that there is no mercy, there is no truth, there is no knowledge of God. What happens when there is no knowledge of God in the land? Well, we have a description. It's moral decay. Look at this moral decay. It says they're swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery. They break all restraints. When God's word is not prioritized, when God's word is forgotten, you know what happens? It's moral decay. And we see it in the Old Testament, and we'll see it today as people forget God's word. And in fact, many of us, if we look around, we don't have to look too far. We say, you know what? I think that's going on right now. People have forgotten God's word, and the solution, not the solution, but the natural conclusion of forgetting God's word is moral decay. It happens every time. You know, in Hosea chapter 8, verse 12, we just go over a little farther in Hosea. You go Hosea chapter 4, Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. It says, they consider my law a strange thing. When God's word has been forgotten, when God's word is not read, when God's word is not taught, what it leads to is moral decay, and what happens is God's word is considered a strange thing. And you know what happens? Good starts to be called evil. And evil starts to be called good. And we don't have to go too far in our own society to see that. When God's word is forgotten, that's what starts to happen. And I can't tell you how many times on the news now that we see that good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. Why? Because God's word has been forgotten. Number one, as a Christian, as servants of God, we cannot forget when it comes to these aspects of our life, we cannot forget God's action towards us. We cannot forget His word. And the last thing I'd like to talk about this morning is we cannot forget to get God's approval. And I think many people have forgotten that. Not only do we forget God's actions, what He's done for us, all the physical and spiritual blessings, not only do we forget His word, but many times we forget to get God's approval when it comes to things in our life. Have you forgotten to get God's approval? It's a danger. You know, Joshua did a lot of good things, and it's easy to go back in time and pick on individuals' mistakes. But really, when you look at Joshua as a whole, many things he did that were honorable and good and service to God. But in Joshua chapter 9, I do suggest that he does make a mistake. In Joshua chapter 9, he's leading the conquest of the promised land. He's going into the promised land, and Moses has died, and he's a new leader, which that was a pretty big shoes to fill. But Joshua steps in, he's leading the people, they take Jericho, they take Ai, the people of the land start to get afraid. In Joshua chapter 9, that's exactly what you see. In Joshua chapter 9, the people are afraid, and this one city that's away from the city that they just took, Ai, not very far, they would say, you know what, we need to make the treaty because we are going to get whooped by these individuals. They are beating everybody. They're taking Jericho, they're taking Ai. So these people of Gibeah, they get together and they say, let's pretend like we're from a faraway country. And they make it pretty elaborate. They do stuff to their clothes, they do stuff to their food, and they show up on the Israelite doorstep and say, we'd like to make a treaty with you. We're from a faraway land. A faraway land. You can read this in Joshua chapter 9. And they say, we're from a faraway land. Why don't you make a treaty with us? And you know what they do? I think there's a mistake there. But they don't consult God first. Do you forget to get God's approval when it comes to things in your life? I think our society as a whole is perhaps looking that direction. There's a lot of people who have compromised with the world. They didn't talk to God first. They started compromising with the world. They started saying, you know, what's the world doing? Or what do I want to do? Or what kind of religion do I want? Instead of asking God what He wants. You go to God and ask Him what He wants. Really, today, there's only one place we can go, and that's to His Word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, if any man speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. We go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And it says that this book is inspired, and He's given us all things that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Have you went to get God's approval? Have you went to get God's approval on the way you handle your relationship? Have you went to get God's approval on the way you handle your job? Have you went to get God's approval on the way that you handle your family? Have you went to get God's approval on the way that you handle your kids? Or are you just going, you know what, I'm going to handle them my own way. Well, that's what Joshua did. It didn't really work out too well. It ends up causing a lot of problems. Do we test things with God's Word? And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. We have that which is good. It's the Bible. It's the inspired Word of God. Once we can come to that conclusion, which as Christians we do, if we come to that conclusion that God's Word is our standard, can't we test everything by the standard? In fact, that's what the New Testament Christians are encouraged to do. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. Whether they of God. Why? Because many false prophets have went out to the world. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they of God. Because many false prophets have went out to the world. We need to test things by the book. We need to test things by the Word of God. We need to ask God, does He approve of this? Does He approve of this relationship? Does He approve of the way that I worship? Does He approve of my conduct? Does He approve of it? Many people are not asking for God's approval anymore. And when they don't ask for it, what happens is we end up in all these different places doing all kinds of different things that God never asked for. People would start with that. That would solve a lot of religious confusion. Let's read the book. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what God has to say first before we go off and do something that's going to get us hurt. In fact, it does get one man hurt in the Bible pretty significantly. He loses his life. I think in 1 Kings, there's a prophet of God, and he does it. We can't go through the whole story, but he does good things. He goes and he speaks on the behalf of God, he delivers the message of God, and he's on his way home. And God says, on your way home, do not stop. That's what God told him, do not stop. A man comes up and says, hey, I'm a prophet of God, why don't you stop? Come to my house. And you know what? He stopped, and he died. You get the approval of God. Who told you to stop? Who told you to press on? Who told you to engage in this? Who told you to engage in that? Did you ask for God? You know, what's really going on in the garden? Could we not say that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in some way, is trying to make sure that He is doing what God wants? We think of Jesus in the garden before He goes to the cross. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 34, it says He went a little further, fell on His face, and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. You trying to get God's approval? Many times people forget to get it. People forget to get it in the religious world. People forget to get it in their worship. They forget to get it in their conduct. They forget to get it in their relationship. Have you forgotten? There's a danger of forgetting that's presented in the Bible. There's three things that we talked about this morning. Don't forget the action of God. Don't forget what He has done for us. Don't forget the Word of God. And don't forget to get God's approval. In many ways, Christianity is reminding us. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, it said, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. A lot of Christianity is reminding us so that we don't forget. We need to be resolved to remember God's action, God's Word, and remember to get God's approval. You know, I look at the wisdom of God, when you think about worship, just for a moment, why are all those things that we do for worship reminding us? The songs that we sing, don't they serve as a reminder of God's actions, God's word, and when we do those things, shouldn't we definitely seek God's approval? When we think of prayer, is that not a reminder of the God which we serve? When we think of giving, is that not a reminder of our blessings and what God has blessed us with? When we think of the teaching and the preaching, is that not a reminder of God? When we think of communion, is that not a reminder? Let us not forget. Don't forget the most important things in life. Don't forget the actions of God. Don't forget the words of God. And certainly, don't forget to get God's approval as you go life's way. You know, many individuals will not become Christians because they forget to go to God for their approval. Don't try to go to a man and say, hey, what did you say I need to do? Or go to this man, or go to this preacher. You know where we need to go? We need to go to God's Word. And I think as you go through the book of Acts, we see individuals hear the Word, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And they're baptized, we see, for the remission of sins. And they're added to the church. They are Christians. And after that, we certainly want to live a faithful life, looking to God, and certainly not forgetting God. Let us not forget God this day. Let's be resolved to remember every day of our life the actions of God, the words of God, and certainly when we look and we consider all these things, God's approval when it's all said and done. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. We would love to help you in any way this morning if you would want to come as we stand and as we sing.